Okay, let's be praying for one another and for these requests this week. And if you want to grab your booklet tonight or your handout, coming to the end here of booklet 3, and we're going to start looking. There's going to be 3 lessons here in a row, kind of finishing out on some future events. First one is going to be on the rapture. Next one will be on the millennium. And then the final one in the booklet will be on the judgment seat of Christ. So tonight we're going to look at lesson number 10, the rapture. For the most part will be in the booklet tonight, but no, maybe not. I might give you some additional references to at least mark down. As I was going back through this today, I was just reminded of some things that I think would be helpful, so we might mark some additional references tonight. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get into the study. Lord, we love you today, and Father, that's why we're here tonight on a Wednesday night. And Father, could be home tonight. People are tired. They've been working. They're in the middle of the work week. God, it's been busy with school, and God, there's, I'm sure, some stress from the job site, maybe some familial stress in their life, Father, financial, Father, but they're here on a Wednesday night, and I thank you for that. And Father, I pray that you would bless them for that. And God, I pray that as we look into your word tonight and study this topic, Father, that our spirits would be lifted up, and Father, that our eyes for a moment tonight, Father, would be able to glimpse you and glimpse our future with you, which is certain. And thank you for that. And Father, I pray that you'd bless this study tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, lesson number 10, we're going to look at the rapture. So just read through it, make some remarks along the way. Introduction, we have very briefly discussed the rapture in prior lessons, I think maybe in discipleship too, it might have been one, but we'll do so more thoroughly here. The word rapture means to be caught out or carried away, although it is not a Bible word. And that's important to know, because sometimes when we talk about it, if you're talking with someone who doesn't believe in it, they may throw that out there. That's not even a Bible word. Yep, we know it's not a Bible word. It is a Bible concept, okay? Although it's not a Bible word, it does describe a Bible event, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there it is in one passage described. Paul also told us to not be ignorant of this event, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And then he goes on in the rest of the passage to describe the order of events of the rapture. In your booklet, the rapture is the next big event on God's calendar. This is what the church should be looking and longing for. Okay, so then what we're going to do tonight in this study, we're just going to answer some basic questions. I think there's 5 basic questions, so the lesson's laid out that way that we'll answer. Number 1, when will the rapture take place? Okay, in your booklet, in the coming tribulation, that's thoroughly described in the book of Revelation, God will pour out his wrath on mankind. So we believe that the Bible teaches what we call a pre-tribulation rapture. That is that the church, also called the bride of Christ, believers of this time, are caught up before the events of the book of Revelation, known as the tribulation, sometimes the Great Tribulation, sometimes known as the time of Jacob's trouble or Israel's trouble. And so this isn't the lesson that this is a more simplistic, because this is just, this is more basic discipleship. This isn't the lesson that goes through why we believe specifically in a pre-tribulation rapture, okay? However, one of the reasons why we do believe in a pre-tribulation rapture is because of what we read right here in the booklet. In the coming tribulation, God will pour out his wrath on mankind. So in your booklet, Revelation 14:10 says this in the context of those who have taken the mark of the beast. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So when you look at the book of Revelation, one word that stands out throughout the book in relation to God is his wrath. Okay, so you'll read this. If you're one to mark references, you want to mark these down. Revelation 6, verse 16 and verse 17 talks about God's wrath during that time. 6, 16 and 17. 11, 18, 14, 19, 15, 1 and 7, 15, 1 and 7, 16, 1 and 19, 16, 1 and 19, and 19, 15. And so it's very clear when we read through tribulation that God is pouring out his wrath on the world, okay? So back to your booklet, before God does this, pours out his wrath, he will return to rapture those who are in Christ. As Christians, we are not appointed unto God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to what? To wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." So we don't have an appointment with God's wrath. God's wrath was satisfied for us in the person of Jesus Christ on his crucifixion on the cross. So in John chapter number 6 and verse number 36, he says, "He that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him." Okay, but for those of us who believe, we've escaped that wrath. We are outside of God's wrath. Okay, so back in your booklet, as we observe, and we learned this in our previous discipleships, as we observe the signs of the Jews, or for the Jews, that's Matthew 24, and the symptoms of the church, that's 2 Timothy 3, we know that the coming of the Lord is near. We are not looking for the Antichrist, but for the Lord Jesus Christ to return at any moment. The Antichrist may or may not, I believe he may or may not be revealed to us in his person before the coming of the Lord. How's that for an answer? He may or he may not, you know, be revealed. Certainly, he has been revealed to us in the sense that we know quite a few things about him. But we're not looking for the Antichrist scoping out to see who he is. We're looking for the Lord to return. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is our blessed hope. We may not know the exact date. When was it? Was it supposed to be last week sometime? Right? We may not know the exact date the Lord will return, but we have an idea that it will be soon. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Pay attention to this. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So we have an idea that it will be soon. Then in your booklet, the world will be focused on peace and safety and with no thought of the Lord. They will even mock it. And that's 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. The Lord likens their destruction to the travail of a woman, typo there, of a woman in childbirth. Childbirth usually doesn't sneak up on a woman, right? Boop! Here's the baby, right? There are clear indicators when the baby's arrival is near. But the world is so blinded by the God of this world that they cannot see the clear indicators of the Lord's return. But we can. And you could do 1 Thessalonians 5:4 says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." You could do this would be kind of a fun study. You could do just in the New Testament a word study on the last days or latter times. And then when you read those things, then you'll know what to kind of be looking for in the world and really even in people and in yourself as the coming of the Lord draws nigh. In your booklet, we are to be studying the light of God's word and looking for the Lord's return. Many believe that the scriptures indicate that it will be springtime. That comes from Song of Solomon 2, 10 through 13. That's a typology there. The bridegroom returning and calling his bride away. And you can look at that at your own time. Number two. Why does the Old Testament not talk about it? So the Old Testament does not talk about the rapture of the church specifically. The Old Testament includes many types of the rapture. Okay, like what? Righteous men like Enoch, Noah, and Lot were all rescued by God before destruction. Right? Enoch was taken out. Noah got the boat. Lot, the angels were sent before the fire came. Right? So we see those types, okay, in your booklet. But the rapture of the church was not a known truth in Old Testament times. In fact, the church itself was not a known truth either. Look at Ephesians chapter number 3. I just want to see that real quickly. It's going to be in your booklet a little bit, I think, on the next page, but I just want you to see this. The church itself, the body of Christ, that was not a known truth in the Old Testament. There are, it is alluded to in some sense, in some ways, about the Lord reaching the Gentiles. Certainly nothing that the Jewish people were expecting. Look here at Ephesians chapter number 3, and look down in verse number 2. Ephesians 3, 2. For if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you words. So God dispensed a certain grace to the Apostle Paul to teach us some things. And Paul taught that to the Ephesians. Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the what? The mystery. So Paul was keyed in on something that was not known. As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the what? Mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is it? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, that the Gentiles would be in one body in Christ, in verse 9, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And so the truth of the church, really the truth of the last 2,000 years, the gospel going into all the world and to the Gentiles, that was not a known thing in the Old Testament. And correspondingly, since the church was not known, the doctrines of that pertain specifically to the church were not known either. Okay? And that, of course, would include the rapture. Okay? And so back in your booklet, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, why do we talk about these things as a mystery? It says there in verse number 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And then so then he goes on to describe the rapture for us in 1 Corinthians 15. And he says that that was a mystery. People didn't know about that. This was something that was previously unrevealed. So in your booklet, Paul tells us that the rapture is a mystery. A mystery is something that has not been previously revealed. They are secrets that God has kept since the world began. Romans 16, verse number 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. God gave the revelation of this mystery to the Apostle Paul. He in turn taught it to local churches, which includes us today. The rapture is just one of several mysteries that God revealed to Paul. And you can look at 2 Corinthians 12:7. I think that's where he talks about the abundance of revelations. And then there's part of the text that we just read, Ephesians 3. And so you can see, even look at John chapter number 10. Even at the time of Christ, you know, this was not on people's radar. They believed in a general resurrection, but they didn't know of some type of rapture or resurrection of believers in Christ. Look at John chapter number 11, and notice in verse number John 11, this is Lazarus. He's been dead for 4 days. He's at the tomb. Christ is talking to Martha. She's telling him in 21, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now notice what she says. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection, what? At the last day. So all of the Old Testament Jews believed in a general last day resurrection where everyone comes up. Jesus says to her in verse number 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And so what they didn't know at this time was that Christ was going to come up, right, at his own resurrection, and then that was going to guarantee another resurrection for everyone who believed in him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's not explained until the Apostle Paul here in 1 Corinthians 15. So the belief was just this sort of general last day resurrection, and if you just read the Old Testament, that's what you would understand. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand where people were at without New Testament knowledge, right? Because we're so bathed in New Testament knowledge. But if you just had the Old Testament, you know, well, that's all you would have. Look here at 1 Corinthians 15. And look down in verse number 22, where he says this. For as in Adam all die, even so what? In Christ. So those that are in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order shall be made alive in his own order. How's that work? Christ, what? The first fruits. So Christ's resurrection, that's the first fruits. That's the beginning of a resurrection that was not known and was really actually hotly debated in the book of Acts. And nobody, we talked about that a little bit Sunday night. Nobody wanted to believe in the resurrection from the dead, especially the Sadducees, but really the Jews didn't want to believe in it either. And so he said, or the rest of the Jews, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. So Christ's resurrection, that was not known. Here he comes up. Afterward, they that are Christ's what? At his coming. So Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming are going to what? They're going to be made alive. They're going to come up. And then cometh the end. And then the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God. Now that's in the book of Revelation. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority. And so this resurrection of Christ, he's the first fruits. And then there are others that follow him. Look at Revelation chapter number 20. This isn't, you don't have to take someone through this if you're going through Bible study, but just as I was looking at this today, I thought that Lord just impressed on me that we should look at this. Look at Revelation chapter number 20. And notice where it says in verse number 4, and it says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. These are people who have were killed during the tribulation. And for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's his millennial reign that we'll look at next week. But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the what? First resurrection. So that encompasses all the people from the time of Christ until this time here. He calls that the first resurrection. There's still going to be the general last day resurrection that actually happens at the end of chapter number 20 when the sea give up the dead and all of that at the great white throne judgment. Okay, but that was something that was not known. Okay, so that's why the Old Testament doesn't talk about it. These are things that we learn in the New. Okay, back to your booklet. We took that little detour, but I think we're going to breeze through the rest of this because some of it I think we've been through before. Number 3, how will it happen? The Bible is very clear about how this rapture will take place. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The rapture and the change that we will experience will happen instantaneously. One moment we'll be living our lives, and the next moment the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised, and we will be changed. The twinkling of an eye takes place in, I don't know where this stat came from, 11/100ths of a second. When God comes back, someone must have measured it. When God comes back to take us out of here, it will happen faster than we can imagine. Number four, what will take place? A, our bodies will be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:53 through 55, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We will be given an immortal body that will never see corruption. It will be a body like the Lord Jesus Christ had after his resurrection. That's 1 John 3, verse number 2. We shall be like him, for we shall know him as he is. That was a body in your booklet that was incapable of sinning. Amen to that. Capable of traveling at lightning speeds. His was. John 20 in verse number 17. Uninhibited, there's a typo there, not uninhabited. Uninhibited by walls and doors. We're looking at Christ's resurrected body in those references. And yet he was able to enjoy meat and drink. And the Bible does say, teach in Revelation 19, that when we're with Christ, we'll actually be at a marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? And so you'll be able to do those things, and I don't think that it's going to affect our waistlines. All right? No more gluten-free. No more sugar-free. No more, I can't have too much of that, right? So that's that. B, we who are alive will not have to experience death. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse number 17. I remember a preacher one time, he was talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, I know what we're going to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Everybody's like, you know. He said, we're going to have fried chicken and tapioca pudding. And he said, I know because I think I'm the only one who's asked God, put in a specific order, that that's what we have. Okay. Hopefully it's better than that. Although I do like fried chicken. I don't know about the tapioca pudding part. All right. Where are we at? 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Some blessed generation of Christians will never feel the sting of death. This Christian is seen in type by the Old Testament Saint Enoch, who never experienced death. Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We may very well be the generation that experiences the same thing as Enoch. One moment walking with God in fellowship, and the next moment completely vanished from this earth. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. See, the Lord will appear in the air in clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. It is important to know that the Lord does not completely return to earth at this time. We meet him in the air, and he escorts us as his bride to heaven. It is not until after the tribulation that the Lord's feet touch this earth once again. That's his second coming in two installments. The first at the rapture, we say that that is for his saints when we meet him in the air, and the second at his second advent with his saints. Jude chapter 1 and verse number 14, when he sets foot on earth. Zechariah 14:4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. He's going to return, which is the king is going to return, right? Which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half the mountain shall move toward the north, and half towards the south. So he's going to split it, and then he's going to walk across that valley. I think Brother Ernie's been over there, and he's going to march, and he's going to bust right through the eastern gate that's all sealed up, because that's the gate for the prince, and he's going to march into Jerusalem. D, the saints who have gone before us will meet us in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also, which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. Know that the word sleep in the Bible is often a reference to death. Acts 7, verse number 16. What a great comfort to know that we will see our saved loved ones again. E, the Lord will raise and change the dead bodies of the saved. And that's 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and 16. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What a day that will be when the Lord takes saints who have died hundreds of years ago and resurrects their bodies. We sang tonight about being in heaven with millions. Millions. Not in the minority then, that's for sure. Number five, who will be impacted by the rapture? Well, the church. This is the event for us. The church will be with the Lord forever. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17b. So shall we ever be with the Lord. There will be no more fear of disease or death. There will be no more mortgage payments or hospital bills. You won't have to work on your vehicle or repair the house. There will be no more strife or gossip. You'll no longer need to visit your doctor or calculate your taxes. What a wonderful day this is going to be. B, the unsaved. It's going to affect them as well. The lost world will be greatly affected. Imagine how different this world will be when the saved are no longer here shining as lights. That moment will likely cause great chaos. Pilots raptured from their cockpits, drivers taken from their vehicles, wives vanishing from unsaved husbands, children gone from their parents. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Some believe that this indicates that every saved person will leave behind their blood. We know that Christ left his. If true, what a tragic scene that would be for the lost. How must we warn them? Charles Spurgeon said it well when he said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let no one go unwarned and unprayed for. That's a great quote and a great reminder for us. Okay, so that concludes that lesson on the rapture there. Next week, we'll move from that. We're going to look at the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these great truths from the scripture. Father, some of us, some in here have been hearing them for years. And God, some maybe even thought that by 2025, certainly we would not be here. And yet here we are, and your promise is still true that even so, I come quickly. And Father, it's not as quick as we would like, but your ways are not our ways, Father. And so we know that you've given us things to do. You've given us responsibilities. God, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful in those things that you've given us, faithful leaders of our family and faithful employers and employees, Father, and faithful spouses. And God, I just pray that you'd help us to occupy and stay busy, God, doing your work and good work for you with the life that you've given us. And Father, would you help us to remember to be looking for you. And Father, then to live in light of that every day, to remember that this could be the day and this could be the time. And Father, I pray that you would help us even this week to be thinking about that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.